Jesus. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. We adore you because you are God. We want to appreciate God for the first Sunday in the month of November, the 11th month. We want to thank God for the journey so far from January to this time. As we come together this morning to worship God, our worship service shall not be in vain. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let us bow down our head to pray. Eternal King of Glory, we want to thank you so much. We want to appreciate you for your help, for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your help. Thank you for the way you have been helping us. Thank you, Lord, even for your mercy that endures forever. Thank you for bringing us together again. The Bible says, the gathering of my people shall be unto me. Therefore, we dedicate and commit our gathering to your hands, your able hands, that you will take absolute and perfect control of this service today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask God that as many that will listen to your word across the breadth and the long length of globe, Lord, we ask that they shall be blessed. Let your word, Lord, even heal them. Make your word like balm in Gilead to heal them from all spiritual infirmity, physical infirmity, economic infirmity, psychological infirmity. That the name of the Lord may be glorified. Father, I hide myself behind the cross, Lord, even and I present you to your people. Let them see less of me, but much of you. Lord, I surrender my tongue, my heart, my everything unto your hand. I pray, Father, that indeed, take up my tongue, take up my heart. I purge myself from every iniquity, Lord, every hindrance that may want to even interfere with the flow of your word. At this time, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, we arrest our environment wherever you are now, wherever I am broadcasting from, you know, or by the way of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to help us, Lord, even that the Spirit of the Lord will take over at this time and the name of the Lord may be glorified. Thank you, our Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Once again, we want to magnify the name of the Lord as we come together to worship. I want to congratulate each and every one of us for saying this beautiful day. It's a good day. The day the Lord has made, that we shall rejoice and be glad in it. It is the first day in the 11th month of year 2020. The year that is so loaded with shakings of the Lord from heavens. Yes, but thank God for you and I, for the way God has preserved his purpose and his plan over our lives. And as we go right now, the topic that God has given me to share across the globe is the fire of a new revival. The fire of a new revival. The fire of a new revival. I'm going to read from the book of Isaiah chapter 64. From verses 1 to 4, the first verses. Isaiah chapter 64. Please travel with me with your Bible to Isaiah 64 for the first 4 verses. I read, "Oh, that you will rend the heavens, that you will come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who act for the one who waits for him. Praise ye the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. The fire of a new revival. God is bringing us to a new dispensation. He's bringing us to a time that we begin to experience the fire of his revival. The revival of our own time. We have toiled all day. And God is saying that yes, he will rend even his heaven and will bring down his revival. The song says, "Rend thy heavens, oh Lord, rend thy heavens and come down. Rend thy heavens, oh Lord, rend thy heavens and come down unto us." God is bringing his revival to cities, to home, to the church, and to the nations. Like I preached and I broadcasted last week about how God will build and raise a new generation that will come to serve God. Generation that will seek the face of God. But today, as I'm coming by the leading of the Spirit to speak of how the generation will receive revival, how the generation will receive the fire of a new revival. The new revival that will come is not going to be a revival of cliché. It's not going to be a revival of how we want it to be. It's not going to be a revival of our own personal interest. It's not going to be a revival even of the selfishness of a nation. It's not going to be the revival even that we make people to look into the hand of God. But revival that will make us to look into the face of God. To seek, know him. According to the song that says, "That my generation shall seek you, that Almighty God, Almighty God, our generation shall seek your face, Our generation shall seek your face. Our generation shall seek your face. Our generation shall seek your face. A revival that will bring in from the one we seek. A revival that will not make us to seek mammon. Revival that will not make us to seek man. A revival that will not make us to seek idol. But indeed to seek the face of God. That when we need favor, we run to man to seek him. So the favor can come to live a better life. But those favor will come to an end one day. There are limited favor. But we coming, you know, to a dispensation, to a time of when the revival of the Lord comes, unlimited favor will be our portion. And as I'm going to, you know, be broadcasting this word of the Lord, I pray that unlimited favor, uncommon favor of God shall be your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus. Like as we come to the first day of the 11th month, you know, Halloween is being celebrated and God has preserved us and the election of America is coming shortly and people are coming out to vote. And across the length and the breadth of the globe, God is shaking and taking away the Shebna leadership and bringing Eliakim. But today, God promised the fire of his revival. The fire of his revival that is coming, and is coming, you know, unprecedentedly. That when the fire of revival shall come, will not become the same. Will not remain the same, rather, anymore. The mindset of God that come out of prophecy through prophet Isaiah is for our time, and God is depending upon the church for the manifestation of his will. And this prophecy is coming expressly from prophet Isaiah that God will rend the heavens, that you will come down. The coming down of our God, the presence of our God in our midst, in our heart, in our lives, talks about revival. It's going to revive us from all our dead works. It's going to revive us from all our procrastination. It's going to revive us from all our reprobate mind to do that which is right and good in the presence of God. What do we mean when we talk about revival? What does revival connote? Revival is the sovereign work of God that will come through the baptism of the Holy Ghost fire. And when it comes, you will never remain the same again. That is why, you know, prophet Isaiah says, you know, in verse 2 of Isaiah 64, that says, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Like I said, the revival that we're talking about is talking about how God will rend the heavens and bring his presence. And when God is shaking the nations like this, it's shaking men like this. It's shaking families. It's shaking thoughts like this. It is to make us tremble. Like what we learn in Sunday school today, that why no humility is the hallmark. But arrogance is the hallmark of the church. Arrogance is the hallmark of, you know, everyone. Because we want to achieve our desire by fire, by force. We do not want to, you know, sacrifice like Jesus did. Not everything that Jesus came to do was palatable for him to be achieved, but he really humbled himself to the extent that he got into the Garden of Gethsemane. He made the proclamation that if this cup can pass over me, but he said, thy will be done. So, verse 2 says, as fire burns the bush, so the fire will come upon you, will revive you, will take away shafts. It's like when you want a gold to be refined and pass through a fire, and there will be a chemical deposit, chemical changes upon that gold. Upon coming out from the fire, it's going to become a refined gold with good carats. So that the nation may tremble at your presence. So as even God shaking the whole nations, God's intention is for the nation to tremble, is for the nation to come before the Lord, to serve God, to do the will of God, is for the nation to return back unto God. Verse 3 says, when you did awesome thing for which we did not look, you came down. Aye. May the Lord come down into your life in this season. In the name of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord come down in this season and visit you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You came down, the mountains shook at your presence. Yes, that is the presence of God. When the presence of God comes up into your life, into the church, it will make the mountains there be surmounted. Beloved, in this dispensation of ours, and the season that our God is shaking the nations and the whole earth, we must know that we need the baptism of the fire of Holy Ghost to bring revival. Our home needs revival. Our churches need revival. The nations and the world need revival. America needs revival. Nigeria needs revival. The six continents need revival. The Europe needs revival. Everywhere needs revival. Your own personal life needs revival. I need revival. And God is promising that the fire of a new revival has come. Do not lean upon the old revival, the old things that you are doing and you refuse to change. The revival that will come, it will come to test every man's heart. If your heart is versatile, to accommodate, to sustain, and to steward even the revival that God will come, the revival will turn you around, you will never remain the same. And I pray for somebody, as I'm broadcasting the word of the Lord, that you will never remain the same in the name of the Lord Jesus. What God has promised for you to do, he will do. No man will be able by any means or shape chance not be able to change and truncate your destiny in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Isaiah 64, God's people had been carried into captivity. His work was disrepair. Yes. And his people were dispirited, much like believers today. We are so discouraged that, hey, no revival can come again. We are hopeless. The church has been carried into captivity by the world, by the flesh, and by the devil. Christians are discouraged. Youth have no future. And many have no hope for revival to come. People doesn't even believe that revival is possible anymore. But I have a good news for you. As a shepherd of the Lord, as the priest of the Most High, the good news that I have from the womb of the Spirit of the Lord for you is this. It's for the, and the good news is for you and I. The coming revival of God is not only possible, it is unavoidable and inevitable. Yes, when God's people decide to return back unto God, their God, when they decide to return back unto their God, the revival, you know, will be established. Hallelujah. God is waiting for you and I to return back to Him, so the revival can be a complete one in your life. No economic upturn will bring revival or any prophet, but our God Almighty, through the church, that is you and I, we steer this revival. We pave way for this revival, the revival of our God Almighty. Prophet Isaiah, the language of the Bible there in Prophet Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1, when he says, verse 4, that, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen my God beside you. Yes. Who act for the one who waits for him. The one who waits for him. Whom are you waiting upon? Who are you waiting for? You wait for somebody. I had a news today. You know, somebody so prominent in my big city that passed on. And likewise, the husband has gone quite some years ago. So, this is the pattern of life. Every individual will begin to go one after the other. So whom do you lean on while you are still on earth? Whom do you believe in? The Bible says that, verse 4 says, who act for the one who waits on him. So it's going to act on your behalf if you wait on him. Blessing cannot come from the person you don't believe. Blessing cannot come, healing cannot come from the doctor or from even the physician you do not even trust. So the revival that is coming now, it will come with tests. The Lord will test individual, is your heart with me? Then the revival will come, and when the revival will come, it will shake you, it will shake the church. All the shafts there will be driven away. And the original will remain. So if you are not ready, when the revival comes, it will bypass you. By my prayer for you, as the revival is coming now, write it down. Because the revival must come before our Jesus Christ, you know, will appear. It may appear tomorrow. The revival may come today. The revival is coming right now. And Jesus may appear any moment from now. But the question is that, according to the word of the Lord here, in the last sentence of verse 4, said, who act for the one who waits for him? He says, what eyes have not seen, what ear have not perceived, when the revival shall come upon your life, it shall be done. Is there any lingering problem? Is there anything that you have been waiting for? Is there anything that you have been asking God to do for you, and you've lost hope that could this thing be done again? But the revival that is coming, the fire revival that is coming, we turn you around. We bring them to pass in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because this is an appointed time of God. the snow, the time that God has promised, and you will never miss your own appointment. You know, of blessing, you will never meet your own appointment of blossomness, of restoration that God is promising through even this revival. Hallelujah. So revival will not come through our, you know, ultra-modern magnificent building. No. Or how eloquent and steadfastness we are. But meeting with God, we should stop seeking God's hand to do something for our home, for our marriage, for our church, for our nation, but to seek His face. Our heart needs to yearn for God to say, "Oh God, will you come down?" What we need the revival for, even the revival that comes out, you know, on earth, we will go there because we are seeking the hand of God to do something for us. You want to build a house? You're looking for husband, you're looking for spouse, you're looking for wife, you want to buy a car, you want to do an exam, you're looking for a job, you're looking for promotion, you're looking for the fruit of the womb, then you will allow the revival to turn you around because you are seeking the hand of God for something to come to pass in your life. Brethren, this must stop. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of him that you are seeking his hand and his righteousness. All other things shall be added unto thee." Do you know why? Either you like it or not, even the physician will give up the ghost one day. The person that is taking care of people not to die, you will die one day. The person that is preaching the word of the Lord, one day, hey, we die. But my prayer for you is that you will fulfill your days. That you will not die. And the way you now die, what is now going to be your result? What is not going to be, you know, your legacy? What is not going to be your portion? Is your portion going to be hellfire? Or the portion, when you get there, you don't have standard. You may create standard for yourself here. That this is the way I want to live my life. This is the way I want to serve my God. You can twist Bible the way you love, the way you like. You might not flip it. You might enter into doctrine. They ask a question in our Sunday school today. That why, you know, is it that some churches are still doing washing of the feet? You might imbibe that doctrine. You might still be doing things in your own way. Yes. But I want to bet with you. I want to submit to you that when you get to heaven, the standard of God will be the supreme standard. Though on earth, God, thank God that God is not going to be the one that's going to judge on earth. It's God, the sovereign God. So why can't you begin to practice this standard of God right, you know, from this earth? That indeed, oh Lord, come down, take up my life. And this is the reason for this revival. This revival is coming for you to seek his face, not to seek his hand. That's different from you seeking the hand of God and using, you know, prayer as a tool for your solution from God. But seeking his face, as you are seeking the face of God, the agenda and the heartbeat of God will be downloaded onto your hand. God will begin to show you, "My son, this is what I want you to do. This is what I've called you for. Or this is what I've called you into. And this is the way I want you." But when you harden your heart, you see the church harden their heart, you see the nation harden their heart, that we will do it in such a way that we own the land. The Bible says, the God that does not create the heavens and the earth shall perish under the heaven and on earth. Brethren, God is calling you to prepare yourself for this revival. The no fire of a new revival. The new revival that will come and sweep away refuge of lies. The revival that will come that will expose hidden agendas of the man's heart. The revival that will come that will sweep away, hypocrisy. That, Lord, you have another thing in your heart. Another thing is coming from your mouth. Eye service. The revival will sweep away all of this from the church. Division from the church. Pride from the church. Unforgiveness from the church. I don't want to see this person. This person is in this group. I am not there anymore. If the person is coming, you walk out. No relationship. Again. If the relationship is smart, you cut it off right there. You don't need to know the person again. But Jesus needs that person. The irony of it, if tomorrow Jesus, says, yes, I've broken this person down, and this is, my beloved. Like he said to David, David is the king after my own heart. And you are still, even bitter about that person in the church. This revival is coming to turn you around. To turn me around. To turn all of us around. He doesn't want us not to perish. As this revival is coming, and you harden your heart, you are on your own. Whatever happens, you bear the consequence. But my prayer is that the Lord will give you a listening ear. The Lord will give you a receptive heart. To be able to receive the word of the Lord and run like a carrier and courier with it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the time has come to prepare ourselves to receive this fire of new revival. So we can pedal the purpose of God forward in our generation. The book of Acts chapter 2, the first four verses, says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Look at that. As of fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. Two ingredients from here. The Bible says, when the time of Pentecost had fully come, they were, in one accord in a place. And the Holy Ghost fire, the fire of revival, came upon them. That fire will lacerate and burn out all the shafts, all of the things that will not allow Holy Spirit to penetrate. Look at the word of the Lord here. I'm reading again. And then suddenly there came sound from heaven as of the rushing mighty wind, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. So before the Holy Spirit will come into you and begin to do the will of the Lord, and or begin to be mindful about the will of God, the fire must come. That's why I tab the topic, the fire of a new revival. But will you allow this fire to come into you? The first thing is that the fire will come and break you down. When you put your meat, when you put your food, you know, inside the pot and put it in the fire, on fire, the first thing that the fire will do, fire will make it tender. You may begin to hear some noise. But afterwards, when, you know, it will bring the food out, it will be sweet to eat. Hallelujah. But the meat cannot jump out from the frying pan. Oh, I don't want it again. They have to remain there until they tender. The Holy Spirit the fire will come upon you to soften you first, to make you tender, to break pride. Some people has pride unknowingly. Some leaders has pride unknowingly. In the church, you gather people because you want them to serve God. Why do you find fault in them? Why is it that their fault now will make you to drive them away? Or your character will drive them away. They will see you, if you call yourself a pastor, you are behaving like this in the church, I'm not coming to the church again. You call yourself a leader in the church, and if you are a leader in the church, I cannot come there again. Because they have seen your character. And people are watching. And you think people are not seeing you. Because you have not allowed the fire to penetrate you. You will behave sometimes, even you will now see yourself that, could I behave like this? And that behavior may not even be redeemed because people, they have taken notes, taking pictures, recordings. But this revival is coming. It doesn't matter how, you know, I've been handling myself before out of the flesh. It doesn't matter how you've been handling yourself before out of the flesh. It doesn't matter how the nation has been drifted from the side of God. And not to say, oh, in God we are not trusting again. It does not matter. Don't see yourself as person that has come to a place of apostasy or cannot be redeemed anymore. The Bible says you shall be called redeemed and sought out. This one is coming to you now for you to surrender, to allow the fire to shake you, to burn away all of those shards in your life. Don't condemn yourself. God has not condemned you. Do you know what God is doing? God is still hopeful over you. That's why Jesus Christ is still interceding for you and I. I'm not perfect either. You are not perfect. That's why the Bible says, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. The man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That's why we intercede and pray for each other, not to abandon each other because of one problem or the other. We talk about love, you know, in our Sunday school. You still continue to show love to even people that hate you. With that love, it will make you great. With that love, may revive and change the heart of the Gentiles. The Bible says in John chapter, you know, 13 verse, you know, verse 15, that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love for one and another. These are the things that this, you know, fire of revival will do in your life, will do in my life. God love to come down if we're ready to meet with him. Jesus came down from heaven at Pentecost, where we read, Acts chapter 2, to baptize the infant church. with wonderful power and fire of the Holy Ghost. And they were doing great miracles, and testimonies follows afterwards. What is your testimony, even in the church? What is the testimony of the leaders in the church? What is the testimony even of the disciples? You will see even in the church, some pastor cannot even, when somebody offends them, they cannot forgive. They will be telling you, don't worry, I've forgiven. They will laugh. Deep inside them, they know that the hurt is still in them. You can deceive people. You think you can deceive God. And the person you hate knows that you hate him or her. You may pretend that it doesn't matter. But it matters, because you know, in the sight of God. Because you too, you are a sinner. I myself am a sinner. Chronic sinner indeed. Chronic sinner indeed. So the revival is coming upon the church to wipe away, to sweep away all this, to sweep away greediness, favoritism, to sweep away unforgiveness of the highest order, to sweep away lies, to sweep away, you know, unbelief, to sweep away sacrilegious act, to sweep away witchcraft, to sweep away, you know, sorcery, to sweep away error, to sweep away divination, to sweep away division. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So the will of the Lord may, you know, may come to pass. So we may proclaim that we have our God in heaven, that rules in the affairs of man. You think this world is your own? It's not your own, my sister. My brother, it's not our own. It belongs to God. Don't hold on to it as if it's your own. It's, you will live not that up one day. But I pray that the Lord will circumcise your heart. Because the revival will come right from your heart. That's why the Bible says, the heart of a man is deceitful and desperately wicked. The Bible says, who can know it? So immediately Jesus came to baptize the infant church, the baby church. In the day of Pentecost, miracles started happening. From that time, they were preaching the gospel all around, and people were joining them. People were giving their lives to Christ. When the fire of a new revival comes down, the following will follow suit. There will be restoration. Amen. There will be healing. Hallelujah. There will be blossomness. There will be unconditional and agape love. There will be sacrifice. There will be obedience. Again, there will be righteousness and breakthrough. Do you know why some people, they will get to their edge of breakthrough? That breakthrough will just block. Because they have not allowed the fire of revival to come upon them. It may be that they have not so tied. They have covenants. It may be that, you know, they have done error and they will never acknowledge it to come before the Lord. If you don't fail, you cannot pass. If you don't make mistake, you can be good. Let the fire of the Lord come upon us to identify our fault. We cannot be right 100% every time. And people don't flow to your idea. No, it won't work. It won't happen. Let us be broken by the fire of this new revival that is coming. So our breakthrough can move on. The breakthrough is not just to have money, because the Bible says the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of his possession. So the fruit of the Spirit can come into our lives. The seven spirit of the Lord can come expressly. The spirit of mind, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. So we may live a peaceable life. I will be baptized with this seven spirit of God through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you read that place very well, it was after the fire came. Look at verse 3 and verse 4 of Acts chapter 2. Then there appeared to them divided tongue as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Why is this fire first? Fire came first upon them to burn away every unrighteousness. I pray for somebody today that the gate of your life shall be opened to the fire from heaven. The fire of God will come upon you to burn away every sickness, every infirmity, every unableness, every calamity, every error, every seed of discord, every unforgiveness, every lies, every hypocrisy, in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says all liars shall have their own portion in the lake of fire. For you not to have your portion in the lake of fire, please give way. Open the gate of your heart to this fire of God to come upon you to burn out all this impediment that is holding us, that is holding the church. The word has come into the church already. The word has taken over. We are coming to church for entertainment. People are coming to entertain. If you cannot entertain in the church again, they're not coming. They're going to where they can entertain them. They go to where they can put hands on them and begin to, you know, move them forward. Not to be able to correct them, not to be able to talk to them. Not even some leaders, the day you correct them, the day you say, oh, I've seen something like this that is not right, can we address it? You become their enemy forever. But the fire of the Lord is coming upon you, fire of the new revival, to chase out, to burn those elements out from your life, from my life. Acts chapter 10. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 46. Chapter 10, 44 to 46. Then the Bible says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, the word of the Lord came upon them, broke through them, and Holy Spirit took over. People that have not believed before, they now believe. Brethren, before Jesus Christ come, what are you holding on to? What is it, your desire? Do you want to have money? You want to have houses? Do you want to, you know, do you like to be loved? You want promotion? You want education? You want fame? What is it that you are looking for that is making you to drift from the scripture? That is making you to drift from the will of God. That is making you to close the gate of your heart against the fire of the Holy Spirit. God is calling you today. Jesus is calling me today. The Bible says, while Peter was still speaking this word, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Why have you shut the gate of your heart against the word of God? And something is whispering your eternal word into your heart. Or you are taking advices and or people as you know are gossiping to you, you know, error that can ruin the church, that can ruin the nation, that can ruin your life. And they call themselves advisors, even special advisor to the president, special advisor to the governor, special advisor or best friend or family member. Whom are you listening to? Who is your mentor? Who is your confidant? Whom do you run to and tell, Lord, the life of the case of your life? Some has chosen even no prophet that once little thing happened, you know, they run to their prophet. Even if the prophet doesn't have solution to it and at that time, the prophet will just give them something. Either it is right and wrong. Immediately the prophet give them so that thing, either it is wrong or right, they don't need to look back. They must do it because when they say it with enchanting tongue. Brethren, where are you operating from? This fire of revival want to cut you off, want to break you, want to break the shackle. Silas and Paul, they were in prison. They did not consult anybody. They did not call the king or anybody to take advice. They didn't take advice from anybody. They believed in God. They soaked deep themselves in the spirit of God. They were singing hymns. They were singing psalms. They were doing all kinds of things to praise God because their hope is in God. Their hope is not in any man. Look at the life of those men. Look at the life of those advisors that are advising you. How do they carry their own life? What is the product of their life? Before somebody will advise you and tell you something, look at the product of their life. Not that you look at the product of their life, then you begin to make jest of them. You even pray for them. You intercede for them. Let the fire of the Lord come upon you and come upon them, come upon everyone, come upon the nation, the church, the women, the men, the young, the old, the youth. So we can come together and serve our God, the God of the heavens and the earth. The Bible says, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who had the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came to Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured upon them. Look at the language of the Bible there, verse 45 of Acts chapter 10. And those of the circumcision who believed, some even will not believe. What is he saying? What is he talking? They just begin to look for fault. And as they are trying to take away, you know, the speck from your eyes, there is log. That is why the Bible says even the teachers will be liable to more judgment in that day. That's why Paul said, after preaching the gospel, I will not be a castaway. I pray for myself too. After I preach the word, I will not be a castaway. So the fire of revival can come upon me and turn me 100% to God. 180 degrees unto God. So if you don't believe, Holy Spirit will not come. If there is unbelief at the gate of your heart, that's why the Bible says, as many that believe, are given the power to become the sons of God, even as men that believe in him. Whom do you believe? You have a friend, a confidant that you believe. Immediately you tell, you know, that person your glory, your miracle, your breakthrough. Yes, they will now begin to mock you. They will not be happy because their breakthrough has not come. Let God be your confidant. Let Holy Spirit steer and steward even the fire of revival in your life. Hallelujah. The fire of revival through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, without the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can move far at this time. Today's Pentecostal church seek revival fire from the Lord, but are they equipped to sustain and steward it when it comes? Acts chapter 1 verse 8, that Bible says you shall receive power. The power cannot come without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you shall receive power when the Spirit shall come upon you. So Holy Spirit will share the power. Do we accommodate Holy Spirit in our church again today? Is the Holy Spirit is our anchor? We love to do programs, feeding people and busy with how to give honorarium. It is good. But when the revival comes, are we so equipped to steward it, to accommodate it, and to sustain it? The ingredient we need for this is the circumcision of our heart and sacrifice of our soul unto God by being born again. Many are not born again. They are playing religion. Religion will not take you anywhere. Because religion will make you to please people. Religion will make you to do eye service. But the Spirit of the Lord will make you to do the will of God. As I begin to close, 1 Corinthians, quickly, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, I'll read from verse 20. That says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babies. But in understanding, be mature. I want to flip that word. That's the word of the Lord there. The Bible says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. But be, however, in malice. Some people are seriously trained, fortified in malice. When they cut you off, they won't go to see you again. That's it. There's nothing you want to talk. But the Bible says, be like in malice, be babes. What are the characteristics of babe? When something happened today, now they are forgotten. Tomorrow they move on with you. Especially if you are able to say sorry, to acknowledge it, oh, forget about it. Oh, my baby, I'm sorry. My children, I'm sorry. I don't mean it. Then they move on. But the Bible says, in understanding, be mature. Brethren, the time of maturity has come. So we'll be able to sustain this revival in the church. Immediately you call any body member in the church to correct him or her. That's the end. The person will not even come to that church again. We'll go to another church again. When he goes to another church again, they will receive the person. Oh, you welcome. They will celebrate the person again. And you are good. We welcome you. In the name of Father, Lord Jesus Christ. They will begin to run at us. Run for that person again. But remember, you pardon my Yoruba language. Only a finiwa. By the time you know it, they may pretend for a while. then they will come out in their true color again. When they correct them again from their age, they will leave the place, they will go to another church. And that is what is going on. They don't want to listen to correction. And that's why the Bible says God has given them to reprobate mind. But the Bible says, be babe in malice. In understanding, be matured. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to these people. And yet, for all that, they will not hear me. I pray you will hear God today. As I'm beginning to round up. Before we ask for the fire of revival, there must be You must figure out how to steward the fire in a safe way. If you don't figure out how to steward and sustain the fire in a safe way, the fire will come and go. The revival will come and go. That's why even, I just begin to do revival every time we do revival, we come in to seek the hand and not the face of God. Fire may have the potential to be very spiritually productive, but inability to sustain it may be dangerous. Therefore, there must be a structure of a fireplace in the home, in the church, in the nation, according to where we read, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14:20-25. A fire burning in a home will result in one of two outcomes. Either the home will be damaged or the fire will be extinguished. It is only with the structure of a fireplace that the fire can be harnessed to warm the home or be used to cook food. Believe it or not, the fire of God can rip a church apart just as much as it can build it up. It is all about building an environment that can steward and protect the fire God provides. You will see even a man of God that is so firebrand in the church, because the fireplace is not on ground. Good altar has not been raised unto God. People are not flowing to the altar. They may even change the pastor. Pastor become another thing again. Become angry, become all kind of stuff. And even people coming even to the church. So when the fire comes, let there be a firework place that will be able to sustain and steward the fire in the church, not to ruin the church. Because when the fire comes like that, vision may come. And when you begin to see vision speaking tongues, it may ruin the church. But when you have the understanding, you are ready to believe. You open your heart to run with the move of God, not with your own move, not with your own agenda. When the vision comes, you'll be able to have the understanding of how to run with the vision. Hallelujah. So, three important components to keep the fire of God burning in our lives. I know I will run it to four. In our lives, in the nation, in the home, in the church. Number one, foundation. What is your foundation? The foundation of the church. Why is it? Upon what, ground or foundation was the church laid? Was the church laid upon the foundation of Christ Jesus? Or where is your own foundation? Upon which foundation are you operating from? Where are you coming from? Which foundation do you carry? And some people will refuse to identify their foundation. The foundation will be rocking them, will be moving them from one place to another, and even they will be suffering, they will never enjoy their life. They will make them to suffer. The church even will suffer from it. See, they will still not trace that foundation and ask God. But the revival is coming now to chase and shake away every erroneous and polluted foundation in your life, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number one. Number two again. To keep the fire of God burning in our lives, we need fuel. Do you have fuel? Do you have, the America will call it gas. Do you have gas? that will make the fire burn. The gas is the word of God. Then we need air. Before fire could burn, you need air, you know, through the oxygen that will, you know, help the fire to burn. And the fire is the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Then number four, the last one, fellowship. Do you fellowship with people? Or you forsake the assembly of the children of God, where you can hear the word of God, where they can teach you the word? As I've come to the end, even of this broadcast of the word of God, I want to examine your life. Examine your life and talk to God, that God, if I be found wanting or guilty of this word of God, Father, I need your help. A prayer that I want to pray quickly from the book of Numbers, chapter 10. Then I close now. Yes, book of Numbers, chapter 10. From 9 to 10, because of significance of this season, you know, that we are in. Yes. 10. 9 to 10. The Bible says, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppress you, then you shall sound an alarm with a trumpet, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your month, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offering and over the sacrifice of your peace offering, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Yeah, this is the first day. Father, I want to thank you. We want to bless you the first day of the 11th month. And you spoke to us that we should blow the alarm. Yes, blow the trumpet, that we shall be remembered. Lord, we pray as we have come, Lord, before you to broadcast, Lord, your word at this time, God. Come and remember us for good. As many that are under this ministration that listen, Lord, remember them for good in Jesus' name. As many going through one problem or the other, I pray, Father, that indeed remember and bring everlasting solution to their problems in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, at the first day of the month, blow the trumpet. And Lord, all your sacrifice and offering shall be a memorial before God. Father, all these prayer points that we have rendered, Lord, even before you, and the word shall be a memorial before you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I cover as many with the blood of Jesus. As we are going to the end of this year, some that has been penned down, listed down, that they will not know the end. I cancel that written code. I cancel that appointment, that you will know the end of this year, and the will of the Lord shall be done. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah be unto your name. Watch and guide jealously over your word in the heart of your people, that will bring out fruit that will sustain them and sustain our generation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah be unto your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Once again, I want to register my appreciation to as many individuals that are listening to the word of God. This broadcast has come by the special grace of God from Royal City Church International. And my name is Wale Ajima Tonareke. By the grace of God, as from 8th of November next week, we're going back to the auditorium, but the broadcast will still continue as the Lord has prepared the ground for us. Thank you and God bless. Bye for now.